course, we value prayer also, right? We value prayer, hopefully. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That's the main stress. Everything depends on how well we can chant, how attentively we can chant the holy name. But members spend a generous portion of every day or week in prayer. This is where they receive an increased passion for the lost. See their leadership potential and enjoy miraculous signs and wonders. Compassion for the lost. That means people that don't know the church, the non-devotees. They even have, you know, they ask their members, how many unchurched people did you talk to today? You know, how many people outside the church have you talked to? They push. That's one thing. Then the purpose of life is clear. They understand that glorifying God and reaching the lost brings greater satisfaction than any other activity. Family life is fully integrated into the cell life. Going to work is for financial provision. It's not seen so much as a career builder, as a home mission field. We should be like, I mean, this is also part of the Gita. But they really apply it. So, and the other thing is leadership. Right from the beginning, they want everyone to be a leader and form new groups. Not that there's just a few leaders. They want everyone to be a leader. The leaders are not attached that they are the leader. They want to make more leaders. And that Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada, just, you know, he gave everybody leadership. Not to get out and preach, you know, it was right away. So the leadership is for everyone. As souls are saved, new converts are discipled to become disciplers. They are taught to make new people. Disciplers of others and their group leader, and then become group leaders. It is not reserved for a privileged few. The vision to become a leader begins immediately after conversion, and there is a sense of urgency to cast off the fears and strongholds that keep a new believer from moving into leadership. And then they have that mood, so, and then you see that even in little places, one, there's other ones also, but this one is 11,000 people attend like on Sunday or something. So we're increasing. We need to have that mood, same mood, preaching spirit. When we discuss sometimes, we see the preaching spirit, something not like it was in the very beginning when everybody was young and not working and everything else. But these people, through their members, they're all family. But everybody's preaching. They teach that from the very beginning. That the real pleasure you get, the real way to be yourself, the real way to please God, to know God, is to tell others about it. And yes, we want to control the mind, Prabhupada said. Controlling the mind means to be thinking how to give the holy name to others. Always scheming and planning and thinking how to do it. And we have to pray a lot to do that. Like, I get questions, well, I tried to preach to somebody, but they don't want it. And of course. You know, the material world, we came here to get away from Krishna. So it's not like everyone you meet is like, oh yeah, sometimes oh yeah, I've been looking for that. I look at him here sometimes, you know. You actually meet people. I've seen a couple times they find somebody. So I was just in the bookstore and was trying to find Bhagavad Gita. I couldn't find it. I handed the Bhagavad Gita to one boy once. And I was saying, you look quite spiritual and nice. He said, no, I'm nothing. He was humble. And he looked at the Bhagavad Gita and said, I'm looking for this book. Where can I get it? I said, say, well, I just happen to be keeping it out. Once in a while, it's like but devotees, they just try to, find some way to connect with people. At least let them have a good impression of the devotee. That guy in my office, he's a Hare Krishna, but he's really nice. He doesn't push his thing on us. And then they start to say Hare Krishna's are nice. Even Jagat and Madai, they had camped out somewhere within range of the kirtan. They could hear it. And Jagai was starting, oh, I like that music. He didn't know what it was, but, he could hear it. They thought it was Durga Puja, they thought it was a wedding party. And sometimes he would see Lord Chaitanya dancing. I like the way that Nimai dances. So he got then Sukriti for that, and, he was the first one to realize it. And then, when Lord Nityananda was trying to protect Madai and get him over the head. And then the Jagai said, Madai, look, he tried to kill this guy, now he's trying to save you. And he was fearful. But just by appreciating devotees, I'm making the answer. Then we try to give Bhagavad Gita one way or another as a gift sometimes. And I heard your results from your smart box. Has everybody heard that? 700 books a month, and one liquor shop does 40 every week. That's 160 a month. What percentage is that of 700? Some smart young engineer or something. Calculate quick. 60 and 70. How does that go? How many times? 5 times? Not even 5, 4.5 times. It's almost 20, more than 25%. Of the books sold is in one liquor shop. And I figured people must—they have some idea that they're doing something wrong, and they see a spiritual book and they think, "Well, let me try it." And also, people in the liquor shop—they're desperate sometimes, and miserable, and unhappy, and they'd be more likely to, try something, whatever reason. But maybe you should find a few more liquor shops. But we never know what kind of person is going to take the book. Some people won't read it. Most people say, I won't read it. And we say, that's all right. Even if you don't read it, it has some good vibration. It's good for you anyway. We always used to say that. And I was in Israel, and one rabbi in the Kabbalah. Kabbalah is a mystic Judaism. And they believe in reincarnation. More open-minded. And they have this big book, it's a big box, set of books, small print, called the Zohar. And it was in an ancient language called Aramaic language. And he gave it to me as a gift. He said, you don't have to read this, just keep it in your house. It has good vibration. And they had those sponsors, and they were giving thousands of whole containers full. Somebody, a rich man, paid for it. And different people, they get this real preaching spirit that they have something good. So we're doing that too, but there's no limit. Let's see how many people in Singapore are. They're not, there's so many Christian churches, but most of the people, they don't do anything. They just, maybe they go to church once in a while. The Indians go to the temple once in a while. The Muslims go to the mosque. Maybe they go more often. But just quick. So we want to find these people and wake them up. Jeev Jago. Alright, so you've got here chapter 3, text number 11. Is that right? Anybody have a Devim Baba Baban Baba Yashanena Deva Bhavayayam Paraskaram Bhavayanta Shayaparam Vakshita Devam Bhavayatanena Deva Naturally, the demigods in charge of the different departments of supply are fleeing, and there is no scarcity in the supply of natural products. Performance of yajna has many side benefits, ultimately leading to liberation from material bondage. By performance of yajna, all activities become purified, as it is stated in the Vedas. Ahara, Shudo, Sattva Shudi, Sattva Shudam, Juva Shmitir, Smriti, Lambe, Sarva, Ranchinam, Vipramu, Kha. All performances of yajna, one's eatables become sanctified, and by eating sanctified foodstuffs, one becomes, their existence becomes purified. By the purification of existence, finer tissues in the memory become sanctified, and when memory is sanctified, one can think of the path of liberation, and all these combined together lead to Krishna consciousness, the great necessity of present-day society. Om Agnate Nirandasya, Anandana Shalakaya, Chatsura Milikanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shite Kanyamano Vishnam, Sati Kamyena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Adati Swasaran, Vande Ham, Shri Guru Shri Yusra Parakamma, Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa, Shri Rupam Satyatam Sahagana, Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvetam, Savarutam, Vajana, Sahita, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sisi Radha, Krishna Padam, Sahagana, Lalita, Sri Vishakam, Vitam Sajivam. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna, Prajapadaya, Krishna, and Krishna Chaitanya, Namni, Gaura, Krishna. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namosate, Sapta Kanta, Nagorange, Radhe, Vidavane, Shri, Vishnu Banam, Sute, Devi, Pranamami, Hare, Kriye. Anshikapa, Chukrishcha, Krishna Sindhu, Mevisha, Patitanam, Bhavane, Vaisha, Shri, Namahum, Vishnu, Sinaya, Krishna, Prasaya, Vilay, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesha Shunyavani Acharyaya Sankarane. So we're not against the demigods, but we have to understand their position. Proper worship of the demigods, Krishna says, when worship other gods, it's really meant for me, but done in the wrong way. Yajantya before the God. They're doing it in the wrong way. They're really meant for Krishna. So the proper worshiping the demigod in the real way is that first you worship Vishnu and then you offer the remnant to the devas. But if you just directly worship the demigod, then it doesn't go to Krishna. So when you worship Krishna, it goes to the demigod. So when people are worshiping demigods, we can just try to explain that, that they like the prasadam of Krishna. They like the Mahamantra also. They like Kirtan. We have several descriptions of the Chaitanya Bhagavan, Bhaktivinoda song. Narada Muni Bajarina, Radhika. So it describes that all the demigods join in. Narada Muni chanting. And the kirtan, and then all the demigods join in, and they have ecstatic kirtans. They like kirtan, because they're all devotees. So they want prasadam. Like Lord Chaitanya took prasadam at the big Shiva temple in Bhubaneswar. So someone might question, why did he take Shiva prasadam? But that temple, near that temple, there's a Vasudeva, not the Vasudeva temple. And the prasadam from Vasudeva is given to Lord Shiva. They don't cook just for Lord Shiva. They give him the prasadam. So then everyone, so that's why Lord Chaitanya took it, is Krishna prasadam. Even the prasadam in Puri we get, it's Durga prasadam, Bhimala prasadam. Because after offering to Jagannath, everything is offered to Bimala Devi, then it's distributed. Because she wanted Prasad, she determined, she asked for that benediction. She wanted everyone to have Prasad. So that's the process. Then the demigods will be pleased, and then things can go nicely. The basic necessities of life can be provided. Modern people don't understand that at all. So they're concerned in many places, water shortage, air shortage, so many disturbances in the atmosphere. Because the demigods are not, they're not being worshipped, they're not getting any kind of offerings. People just keep asking them for, things, and they give them anything. So, Bhagavad Gita has covered this many times. They want to worship the demigods, but also the demigods. They want to worship the ghosts and spirits, close to the ghosts. And one worships me, Jnati Mam Jnati Nautima. One who worships me goes to me. So by worshiping Krishna, this mentions the food, you know, when things are offered. The devotee, I don't know if it's coming up or what previously, he offers everything to Krishna, so therefore, otherwise, if we don't offer the foodstuffs to Krishna, then we are going to eat only sin. That's what everybody's eating. So we try to get prasad to everybody. Try to get as many people as possible who want it. And that's it. Increase prasad distribution, holy name distribution. So Lord Chaitanya, he taught us so much. Because he lived exactly the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, of course, because he's Krishna. And he came as a devotee, so he was showing us. Like I just read yesterday, and then Balabhata came. And he was a devotee, advanced devotee. And he came honoring Lord Chaitanya, telling him, you're the Supreme Lord, he was glorifying him. You spread the holy name everywhere, and it's impossible to spread the holy name unless you're empowered by worship by Krishna. So you must be the Supreme Lord. And then, but he, this Balabhata was proud. And Lord Chaitanya knew that. So he just said, he started saying, I've learned, you know, from Advaita, I've learned this, from Nityananda, I learned, and he listed off like 20, 30 devotees that I've learned from each one. From Haridas Thakura, I learned the glories of the holy name, and from Ramananda Roy, I learned the glories of, you know, Radha Krishna's service. And he listed off this long list of devotees. To show how, you know, because he actually felt that way, actually. Even though the devotees didn't feel that way. Ramananda Roy, you know, Lord Chaitanya was asking him so many questions that he felt like a musical instrument that Lord Chaitanya was actually playing. He was speaking all these great things. So then this Balabhata went to meet all these devotees. But that's the idea. We're learning from every devotee. We have something to learn, and not only devotees, especially from devotees. There's nobody that we can't learn from. Every devotee has got a special relationship with Krishna. Every devotee has their own realizations about Krishna that can help us to know more about Krishna. And even Bhaktivinoda, of course, and other people from other religions, when we see them, we should think they're worshiping the same God, but in a different way. But I can learn more about my God, you know, by seeing how they worship God. Very open-minded, you know, idea. Not condemning anybody, but those who, you know, of course nowadays people profess, you know, different religions, but they don't really follow very much. Even Prabhupada, TV interviewer asked him, what do you think about Christianity? So I said, that's very good. But I don't know, the followers are not very good. They're not following. And many people, you know, they see Hindus also, and they think, well, Hinduism, like, what is it? Like, a lot of people, you try to approach them here, maybe, and they think they're Hindus, and they think of Thai Pushan or something. That's what they know about Hinduism. if they see a newsreel about Hinduism, it'll be tied to with the nail through their cheeks and tearing nails. And so they think, oh, yeah, it's horrible. And it is. It's very tamasic. It's not, you know, not, it may be one section of it, but every religion has crazy, you know, people. But that's what gets, you know, people know about. And they try to, if another group is trying to teach their children against Hinduism, that's what they show them. They don't understand things even. Like there's an English word, you know that word juggernaut? You know that word? Juggernaut. It means a huge, irresistible force. You know, a destructive force. Like sometimes a movie may have something like that, you know. So that was a word the British made up when they saw the Ratiyacha. And they heard everybody juggernaut, juggernaut, juggernaut. They saw these huge carts and they, you know, millions of them, and they were thinking it's some, they couldn't understand what it was, you know. So they thought it's some, so they made that word juggernaut. It's like a huge vehicle that, you know, mows down everything. Now you can say like these harvesting machines are having to use. People misunderstand, so we have to, you know, meet people and present, you know, first yourself, you know, that you're just an ordinary person, and that, you know, we're not dangerous or something. And then when they see friends, make friends with devotees, people will listen, and they maybe take our advice, you know. So Bhagavad Gita is telling us everything. This chapter is Karma Yoga, so it stresses on these kind of activities. You know, Krishna says you prosper and work in cooperation with the demigods. And that's true. You know, the world, when everybody is like in Ramachandra, Ramaraj time, there was no disease, there was no death, there was somebody wanting to die. Everything was nice. Because they were all worshiping Ram, and he was enforcing, you know, a proper life. Cricket time also, I mean, there was no place for Kali, there was no slaughterhouse, there was no brothel, there was no whiskey, you know. There must have been some somewhere, a little bit. It's always there, but not, you know, not prominent, not something that's affecting everybody. Now Kali Yuga come in, so everywhere they advertise all sinful activities. You have to do this. Doctors are telling you have to do it. Right? And always, every once in a while comes in the news, some studies show that if you drink a little bit of whiskey every day, then you have less chance of a heart attack. Right? If you drink a little bit of wine, but not everybody can drink a little bit every day. You think, okay, I'll drink a little bit every day, but then I'll drink a little more, a little more, you know. If I drink a little, it'll help me. So if I drink a lot, it's being better, right? That's what happens after you drink a little, you start to think like that. Doctors and devotees, you know, doctors in America told them that you're sick because you're not having sex. You have to have sex. They have deep needs. Even now, it's still enough. Even though there's so much evidence, many doctors still think they have deep needs. Have deep fish. Have deep something. It's Kali Yuga. It's got people bring it. And religion is just, you know, the opiate of the masses, that's what Karl Marx. And many of that's affected so many people, that one little thing, the opiate of the masses, the intoxication for the stupid people, religion. You've been to Japan. Japan has freedom of religion. You can do whatever you want if you're a loser. If you're successful, and then you don't need religion. You know, you can if you want. If you can't make money, if you can't get a girlfriend, if you can't, you know, if you're a loser, then you're free to have any religion you want. Some advantage for preaching, but it makes it hard to get through to people. So that's Kali Yuga. So we want to counteract the Kali Yuga by, he doesn't like the kirtan. And where there's kirtan, Kali runs out. And then the place can be sanctified, people can be happy. Devotees, you know, some people think Krishna bhaktas are poor, but we know that's not true. Many Krishnas, some are, voluntarily. Not all Shiva bhaktas get rich either. In Nigeria is one of the poorest countries in the world, but all the churches advertise you'll get rich. But everybody goes to church. I don't know, they still believe it. And they give so much money and they believe in it. You know, they can get rich. But that's not what, you know, what the scriptures stress on. Scriptures stress on, you know, you can, even here it says you can get liberated, but more liberated really means you'd be a devotee. With Krishna. If you just take up the chanting of the holy name regularly, prayerful mood, and that prayer is Krishna, please let me serve you. Very simple translation of the Maha Mantra, but it's very deep. You want to serve Krishna, you want to surrender everything. That's what surrendering to Krishna means, is to do whatever Krishna wants, and follow Krishna's instructions. Serve devotees is the best way to serve Krishna. And a very advanced devotee sees everyone as a devotee. He tries to serve everyone. He has compassion for everyone that's suffering in the material world. But like I was saying in the beginning, we can learn that these people in other denominations or whatever we want to call it, they have this understanding, that much understanding, that people are suffering from lack of God. They need the church. And they're always trying to think of ways, and they work very hard at it. So they have these very big churches. And of course, we've done it here. The devotees have done that. So when I first came to Singapore, there was very few devotees practicing. And now there's many. And it's increasing because the devotees are trying to increase, trying to preach to people. The most powerful preaching is example. Yajna Charity Shastavanaha. So yes, Samanam Purvate, Sloka Sadhana Bhartate. Whatever example great men do, others follow. But in the eyes of someone, everyone is a great man. So, yeah. Especially if your children, they look up to their parents. And some parents say, do what I say, not what I do. Some preachers say that. Do what I say, don't do what I do. And I can do this, you know, like, I'm doing all these things, but it's okay. And you know, I'm living, the priest is living a super luxurious life, and, you know, in a palace, and driving limousines, and having many, you know, other activities and things, but you can't do this. You have to do what I tell you. So nobody will follow him. They might, if you want to follow him, thinking I can become like that. But we want to, you know, St. Francis, the great Christian saint, he said, you should always be preaching, and if you have to, you should talk. Let your walking be your talking. People watch us. So we can't force people. We have to, you know, show them the way, one way or another, find some way to, you know, give them prasadam. Not everybody wants to read the book or wants to hear, but we can talk about something and give it a Krishna conscious perspective, you know, the work or the words or, you know, whatever. People, even sometimes they ask us, what do you think? Sometimes we get stuck, you know, what do you think? Like, I think when that, who was that guy in India that was fasting for anti-corruption? then, you know, people are asking the voters, what do you think about that? You know, we kind of, you have to get some kind of idea what to tell people. It brings it aware of it, it won't stop the corruption, even you make laws against it, the corruptors will find a way to do it anyway, until the atmosphere becomes purified. So that's why the voters mostly concentrate on spreading the holy name and getting people to read about the Gita, so they get purified, that'll change their consciousness. Change the consciousness. You can't legislate honesty. Even companies like, I don't know, here in America, when they're hiring, they have a test, like, they're supposed to judge if someone's honest or not. And that's what they look for, honesty more than any other quality. And so you can teach skills, but you can't teach honesty. A person can have no skills whatsoever, but if he's honest, if you're going to can teach him how to do stuff, but if he's not honest, you can't teach him. That's why they have to have so many checks and balances, you know, in every company, so that only the most clever person can cheat. It's called the yoga. Cheating propensity is very strong. But especially the so-called religious leaders are cheaters, promising people material benefits, you know, by religion. That's not what it's for. So we're promising people, you know, Prabhupada. They asked him, what do you get from chanting? He said, you get more chanting. We don't say you'll get rich and you'll get promoted and your children will get a PhD from Harvard or something. You know, it might happen, but we don't promise that just because you chant that one. But you'll get more chanting and you'll be happy with whatever comes. Love that sounds too strong. You'll be satisfied. Yeah, did Shaya love the sun too strong? Whatever comes out of that. Alright, are you saying I have to go now? You're all saying no? Yeah. Okay, well, they don't mind waiting. Alright, thank you very much. Sorry we have to run. It's a busy week in Singapore, which is good.